Well, we had this posted on the coasttocoastam.com website yesterday with a video, but I want to read you the story today. It is really something. The presence of the supernatural and the influence of voodoo long have been synonymous with New Orleans. And in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, members of the U.S. military are saying that there's something spooky going on, and it's not just the images of death and destruction that's haunting them. By all accounts, the Sophie B. Wright Middle School in New Orleans sits empty and evacuated, except for military personnel who have taken over the campus as a staging site for missions around the battered city. But the men in uniform have the feeling that they're not alone. It prompted a chaplain to utter this directive: "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, Satan, to leave the dark areas of this building." Sergeant Robin Harrison of the California National Guard said, "I was in my sleeping bag. I opened my eyes, and in the doorway was a little girl. It wasn't my imagination." Harrison wasn't the only one seeing things. Specialist Rogales Leonor had her own close encounter. She says, "I was using the restroom. I saw a little shadow kind of looming in front of me." Another member of the guard unit said that she saw and heard a little girl laughing when she opened a closet that contained cleaning supplies. At a Baton Rouge marina, boats were tossed around like trash, but not a shred of paper could be found except for the pages of a Bible, which was found by a soldier. It was open to the book of Revelation. At a nearby church, nearly destroyed, another Bible was found showing the exact same passage from the book of Revelation. Like the power of nature, there is a power at work in New Orleans that defies explanation. Now, how about that for a story? And also some other news: a magnitude 3.6 earthquake shakes an area north of Los Angeles one day after a series of quakes rumbled through the region. How much you want to bet when I go back to L.A., I'll be reporting on earthquakes? I just have a feeling about that. And also, a Pakistani military officer says that Osama bin Laden is in deep trouble, that he's hiding now in Afghanistan along the Pakistani border. He is no longer effective. He has maybe at most 10 people protecting him. He has no communications. We've got him. Now, we may not go in and get him because he's ineffective. Now, that's a pretty interesting story, too, if you can believe it. But he's going to make those remarks Sunday on 60 Minutes. By the way, at this point, I want to thank all, and I mean all, the people listening to us on their commercial radio stations all around the country and in Canada and Puerto Rico and every place else. We do appreciate your support. My friends at Streamlink, members of the Coast to Coast Streamlink, they call themselves the Coast Riders. When they're part of their chat room, thank you to you, the fantastic Forum Pirates. By the way, a special hello out there to Spike Mike, who is in Texas, and I hope all is well for you, Mike, out there, and that you and your friends and family are from harm's way, and everything is okay there for you. Imaginative Worlds, those folks there, we call them the Explorers. My friends at the NighthawkZone.com, I call it the up-and-coming chat room, the National Radio Club, Yahoo chat rooms, Sorcery IRC, all of you who continue to build Coast to Coast to the 5 to 10 million nightly listenerships. Thank you so much. We'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, let's go back to open lines. A lot of these lines tied up with people who want to talk about the hurricane. Some people in the middle of all of this. But if you want to call in, it's open line night as well, about the strange happenings for yourself or things you want to talk about. That's okay, too. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah, hi.
Two names that I haven't heard relative to the manufactured hurricane events here is Fred Bell, whose report I believe you read last week. Or
Yes.
And then, of course, Nick Begich, who I think was the first to present the U.S. patents granted to whatever company or companies that developed this type of technology. So I think I'm calling for for an energy roundtable, and I would like to see that roundtable discussion once a month. Of course, RCH, Jim McCanny, Nick Begich, Fred Bell, etc. Also, George, I heard a colleague of yours do an interview recently. He's a World War II vet. I won't give out his website unless you want me to, but he interviewed some scientists who said that Russia is the greatest producer and exporter of oil, based on their understanding that it's deep, it's being created on a consistent basis, deep within the earth.
Well, I don't know if they're the biggest exporter and producer, but they sure have the capability to do that.
Indeed. And also, relative to Homeland Security, George, I have a gut feeling that the timing of these events is a wee bit too coincidental relative to the colossal debacle that is the CIA-directed genocide police action in Iraq. Let's divert attention away from that, right?
Well, let me tell you something. It's almost as if that war isn't even going on anymore, isn't it?
And indeed, George, I want to bring up also the fact that Homeland Security originated in fascist Germany.
True.
Okay. And are you familiar with the free speech television station on satellite dish network and DirecTV?
What do you mean by the free speech?
There's actually a free speech TV station that has been airing documentary videos since around 2002, addressing these issues of fascism and the globalist agenda.
All right. Well, no, I don't get that where I am.
Okay. Well, it's on satellite TV. Anyway, they have a video out called Orwell Rose in His Grave, and they interview a number of researchers and authors, among them Chalmers Johnson, who authored the book Sorrows of Empire, wherein he says JFK got onto the fact that the CIA had to be dealt with, and he decided before he left office he was going to terminate the CIA.
And that's part of the reasoning that JFK may have been terminated himself.
Indeed, but here's why. CIA seems to be intimately connected, as we were told, with the colossal intelligence failure of 9/11. I don't think that was a colossal failure. I think there's an overwhelming preponderance of evidence. George, where are the indestructible radio frequency black boxes, for instance? Wherever we hear about a plane crash, virtually the next thing you hear is, oh, well, the black boxes have been recovered, okay? So, CIA, you know, I think Chalmers Johnson and all the rest of these people are right on target here. We need to terminate the CIA.
Well, I tell you one thing. You don't terminate your only intelligence network, but what you do is you drastically change it. And they are in for a major, major reform, as far as I'm concerned. Let's go back to the hurricane tracker, Mark Suddeth, who probably is very close to being in the eye of Hurricane Rita. How close, Mark?
Getting very close now, a matter of minutes. I'm in the outer edges of the eye wall, that worst part of it. You know, Rita is slowing down as it makes landfall, so it's going to take a few extra minutes perhaps, but I'm in the last few minutes of the grips of this, and all I can see all around me is white, blasting wind and rain. It's just completely whited out. But the wind itself is only about 75 to 85 miles an hour where I am. I can certainly manage that.
What is the category for Rita right now? Is it still a 3?
Let me check for you real quick. While I'm checking, ask me something else.
while you're checking, are you seeing, like we do with Midwest tornadoes, things flying in the air, you know, like little pebbles and, you know, a piece of straw, for example, can go through a tree trunk? Is that happening?
You know, I saw a lot of vegetative debris flying through the air, but this hurricane was weakening as it made landfall, not dramatically, but enough so that there really hasn't been that just extreme burst of winds that you get in something like a Hurricane Charley last year. Hurricane Katrina had some of that in it, especially in that right front quadrant. this is bad, but we're not seeing what you're describing. No, I haven't seen that myself, but that can definitely happen.
I had a friend who saw a cow being picked up in a tornado several years ago,
right off
farmland, just off it went.
Yeah, absolutely. That can happen. And, you know, with hurricanes, though, what they do is the wind will get in a building, punch in the garage door, take out some windows, and then with the, basically, it's kind of like an airplane wing, it'll pressurize and push inside and lift over on the outside, and off goes the roof. And then the whole building just kind of shreds and stuff comes out of it, and that starts getting hurled through the air. I tell you, George, if you were sitting here right with me right now, you would be absolutely amazed at the power. Let me see if I can put the window down and let you hear this. I know it's
okay.
A PCS signal, and that doesn't synthesize real well. This gives you a little bit of an idea. Oh, very stinging rain. I'm not really near anything that makes a lot of noise, like power lines and trees. I'm out in the open. But the energy that I'm seeing getting transferred to the surface of the earth right now through this hurricane, every one of them I see, I say the same thing. It's absolutely incredible. And if we could just figure out a way to harness this power, we could probably make up for what we're going to lose with these refineries being shut down.
Well, let's see. Do you think people can manipulate hurricanes, Mark, move them around?
I really don't. You know, just from my experience, I think that it's possible to manipulate their strength and to be almost, it's almost science fiction, but I think the easiest thing to do, if we had the technology, based on my experience, if we could figure out a way to upwell the water underneath the core of a major hurricane, that would be about the best way to weaken it, because you would sap its energy source. However, if you mess with nature's heat engine and you keep that air conditioner, that's what Art Bell called it, is a nature's air conditioner, if you keep that from functioning, would you really like for somebody to come and tinker with your air conditioner just because it's working really well?
I try to fix nothing that is working well. I just leave it alone.
We have to adapt, and we are in an era now of increased hurricane activity, increased hurricane intensity. It happens every 30 to 40 years or so, then we get a break. And there may be even evidence that it happens over a longer period of time with breaks in between those. It's just, we are in that active period now. The Earth is getting warmer. We can prove that with numbers. But is man the responsible culprit? I don't think so. Not all the way. We're responsible a little bit because we are putting greenhouse gases out there. But I don't think we're the sole culprit of why we're having these big hurricanes.
I agree.
It's just the way it goes.
It's a cycle. Now,
we have to adapt.
Would it surprise you, though, if there were some military programs either in this country or in other countries that had some kind of equipment where they could manipulate and play around with hurricanes?
That would be surprising only to me, because I know so many people in NOAA, in the government,
right,
and have worked with them for so many years that none of them have ever, oh, man, it is getting really bad right now. Oh,
and
goodness.
What's the category? Were you able to check that yet?
Yeah, it's still a Category 3, probably around 115, 120 as it's making landfall. But the energy is just really ramping up right now, and that's the sign that in just a few minutes, it's just going to drop. It's just going to be gone. But right now, again, there's nothing where you can really hear it. It's blasting on the truck. But
of course, it's pitch black where you are now, I assume, right? Once you get into the
eye. All the power's out. Even those oil refineries have pretty much been snuffed out. But when the eye comes over, it'll be really interesting to see if all those flames sort of turn back on and light up those low cloud decks. It could be quite a scene.
In theory, Mark, if the sun were out, if this was daylight and you were in the middle of the eye of the hurricane, if you looked straight up, what would you see? Would you see a hole? You could see a clear blue sky up there?
George, yes, a very good question. And hurricanes that are like Rita, when it was over the ocean, the Gulf of Mexico a couple of days ago, where it had a clear eye from the stratosphere to the ocean surface, yes, that's what you would see. Some of them, there's a break in the clouds and you can see the center. You need a perfect column of clear, like being inside of a tin can, basically looking up. And here's the bad part. If you ever get that opportunity, you are probably in a very intense hurricane. And let me just tell you real quick, the pressure, when we were talking earlier, was in the mid-960s. Now it is 956 and a half. It's dropped 10 millibars. That's the metric unit of pressure measurement. 10 millibars. I give it to you in inches, too. Units, 28.28 inches of mercury. And it's dropping very quickly as this wind howls outside as the core of this hurricane, the center, gets close to me in just the next few minutes.
It should start dissipating when? At about what time period?
Let's see. We're looking at 3:24 right now Eastern time. It should start dissipating. Let me just look at a radar picture real quick. I have wireless internet right here in the truck, this SUV. It's just incredible that the wireless internet can work through these conditions. The power's out, yet the cell phones, it's just a little Sprint PCS card. It's nothing, you know, that satellite beaming down to me. It's just like your cell phone.
And it's amazing that
efficiently.
It's amazing that your signals are working through all this stuff.
But you know what? I think the real benefit is to, for example, like the Sprint network, they're who I work with, so I don't know about other networks. It's a radio signal. And so it doesn't, from what I understand, succumb to the same problems as a microwave signal. And so there's no rain fade. All right, George, the eye and the calm should be over me. I'm looking at the latest radar. Probably within the next, let's just be a little bit liberal here and say the next 30 minutes for sure. That way we don't keep, probably 15 more minutes. Let's just say another half an hour. I'm going to be sitting in the middle of the eye.
Middle of the eye. But are you like on the outskirts of it now?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The worst of this eye wall is passing over me now. And actually, it is probably almost calm down at the Sabine Pass, just a few miles away from where I am in the grand scheme of things. It's just a few miles south and east of where I am. And, within the next few minutes, it's going to just shut down here.
What's the top height of the clouds of the hurricane now, Mark? What do you think?
Well, you know, that's interesting. I was looking at the infrared satellite picture and the reds and the oranges, and then it has this black color almost on the NOAA satellite picture I was looking at. Those showed cloud tops of like minus 80 Celsius, which are way up there, 30, 40, 50,000 feet.
Oh, my God.
But the radar does not show that kind of reflectivity at the surface.
Are there weather planes up there now?
Yeah, there's airplanes. They're probably almost done flying now. Oh, man, this is just incredible. It's just getting worse. This is the last punch. This is the last punch.
Do you like doing this?
Yeah, for the most part. It gets a little hairy at times, like right now. But where I am, it should be safe because I'm in an open area. I like studying the hurricanes, and then I really like telling especially children about hurricanes and how they can get prepared for them and what they can do to study them as they get older, to get them interested in science.
Are you taking video now of where you are?
Yes, I've been shooting video. There's not much to see except an unbelievable blast of wind. You might be able to hear it. Now, let me just be quiet just for a second.
Just for a second. Then we got to take a break, Mark.
That's it on the windshield.
That is it. All right, Mark, we'll check back with you in another 15. Mark Suddeth, the Hurricane Tracker, and the rest of your calls. Sorry I haven't gotten to you yet, but I will when we come right back after an update from Alex Jones. But let me tell you, a Hurricane Tracker, it doesn't get any better. Well, we've got Mark the Hurricane Tracker right in the eye of Hurricane Rita. Now let's go to Austin, Texas, where Alex Jones is standing by to give us an overview of what's going on. Alex, updates.
George, he's there. I'm looking at a live satellite animation that we've got a link to on PrisonPlanet.com, and the eye is now wobbling. but still intact to a certain extent, going right over where your next guest is based. And we're looking at sustained winds of 110 miles an hour, and they're saying in the next 15 minutes that 120 to 125 mile an hour winds will be slamming into the coast right there where Texas meets Louisiana. And at the same time, the power is out in large areas of Houston, Port Arthur, Beaumont, Galveston, Texas, several historical buildings in the historic strip area there in Galveston, Texas, of course, have burned, and those fires continue to burn for several hours. Hundreds of valiant firefighters that volunteered to stay behind fought those fires. Three of them went to the hospital, so we need to pray for them as well. Several levees had water out of Lake Pontchartrain topping over it today, obviously, in New Orleans, but two of the levees now have ruptured, and there's about 5 feet of water in the Ninth Ward now spreading into the rest of the city of New Orleans that had been pumped dry. Unfortunately, that's only getting worse. And we're going to find out the full extent of the wind damage, obviously, when the sun comes up in 3 or 4 hours. But right now, in the next 15, 20 minutes, the main eye wall will fully impact onto the coast of Texas and Louisiana. Meanwhile, FEMA just lost a court case along with the city of New Orleans for the gun confiscation that was going on. The NRA and the Second Amendment Foundation took them to court today. This is just out. Federal judge halts New Orleans gun seizures. They were still going on of law-abiding citizens' homes, not just in New Orleans, but in surrounding parishes. So that'll be precedent-setting for areas of Texas and Louisiana that are now being ravaged by this new hurricane in the aftermath of Katrina. So Rita has certainly not spent herself yet. And the real damage, the hydrologists and meteorologists are saying, is going to be from the fact that it is probably now going to stall about 50 miles, unless the model changes, 50 miles inland and dump its water, and we're going to see massive flooding.
Lots of
because
water.
If we get 25 inches of rain in some areas, that's obviously going to then get into the lower lying below sea level conclaves that are inland and cause massive flooding. So that's certainly going to be very dangerous for a lot of people, as well as property and a lot of livestock.
All right, Alex, we'll talk to you next hour, my friend.
Thank you, George.
All right, Alex Jones in Austin, Texas. He's safe out there, updating us on the situation with Hurricane Rita. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the show. Now, this is Danny in Beaumont, who was on before. Danny, what's the situation for you now?
Well, I've been listening to your program, and I listened to that hurricane hard down there. I'll tell you this right now. It's blowing good. We're getting, I'd say, wind gusts, as that guy from Austin said, up above 100 miles per hour. I had sprung a leak in one of my bathrooms, so I guess I've lost some of my shingles.
Oh.
And, but it's nothing major yet. But I did open up my front door and shine my flashlight out front, and there's debris all over the, you know, the yard, pieces of limbs, this, that, and the other. I imagine when the sun comes up, it'll be more evident. I had a comment to make about the hurricane, Hunter. He says that once the eye passes, that's the end of it. Well, generally, once the eye passes, you got the backside of that hurricane you got to deal with after that. So when the eye passes over, that's just the calm before the second part of the storm.
The second push. Are your neighbors, did they stick around, or are they all gone?
I've got, I'd say, this is my estimate here in Beaumont, I'd say 90 to 95% of the population evacuated. In my neighborhood, Minglewood Edition, I'd say that there's a, I got one neighbor catty-cornered to me. They stayed, and I know probably maybe one of every 20 houses in my neighborhood, somebody stayed right out the storm.
All right. Well, we'll check in with you again, Danny, and be safe, my friend. That's Danny down there in Beaumont, Texas. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Where are you calling from, hon?
This is Barbara. I'm calling from Dallas, Texas.
Hi, Barbara. Go ahead.
Well, I just have some thoughts on the whole Katrina and the Rita situation. I think it's definitely manipulation controlled.
Why that? Why do you say that?
Well, I enjoy studying physics, and I enjoy studying magnetism and vortex technology. And if you study the Montauk experiments, even though they canceled them supposedly after the Philadelphia experiment went awry, mm-hmm. you'll find out that they went into what was called the Phoenix Project. And even though they think they dissipated that in 1986, it continued on with the government. And there were two phases to the Phoenix Project. One was that they were able to control storms, tornadoes, and weather systems. And they used it by using Z argon gases and manipulating it above the 406 megahertz frequencies.
Well, but here's my hurricane tracker says he would know if they were manipulating because of everyone he knows. Or do you think they're keeping everybody in the dark, so to speak?
Well, I think definitely they're keeping them in the dark because we all like to believe that God bless America. We don't do that kind of things, but there's good and bad trying to manipulate government control systems. And you know, you were talking also about the prayer and moving
positive consciousness.
Charges against negative charges in a sense.
Yep.
Well, the human mind control experiments was also part of the Phoenix Project, which they knew they could do it with a transmitter, and they didn't have to necessarily have a receiver. I believe that technology is definitely still in force or has been perhaps confiscated or secrets gone over to other governments.
Okay, thanks for your comments. Appreciate it. And let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good, sir. Hi.
Yeah, I've been listening since 95, and I have to say, first, you've done a great job.
Well, you thank
me. I never thought anyone could do as good as you did. Let me ask you a question. This is fascinating to me, this this weather control. My godfather was one of the first black paratroopers in the Triple Nickels. It was a secret part of the government at the time. They didn't want to let people know the black paratroopers were jumping out of planes. They wouldn't let them go to Germany. But what they did was, there was, at that time, Japan was sending big weather balloons over, in a way,
right,
with a bomb connected, okay? They were starting fires on the West Coast. Now, they didn't want to let people know this at the time, but what happened was, when these balloons were manipulated with the wind, okay, and they would release a weight every so often, and they would shift it to another, it would go lower or higher depending where the wind needed to take it.
Uh-huh.
Now, they didn't want to let everyone know this was happening because he's still living. He's 87 years old, and he tells me all the stories, and actually, you know, what they did was, they would jump down, you know, and fight these fires. They wouldn't let them go over, you know, seas, because at the time they didn't want blacks, you know, jumping out of, being paratroopers. But these guys with the Triple Nickels, which they have an amazing story, which isn't really, a lot of people don't even know about it. I mean, because at that time, even, they didn't want everyone to know.
Well, he's a hero. He's an American hero.
Yeah, he's an American hero, and I'm actually trying to work. We're working on, like, maybe making a motion picture out of it right now.
That would be cool.
Work on scripts.
That would, hey, send me a copy of it. Who knows? Yeah, I'm out here in L.A. all the time.
Oh, yeah. I have family members out in L.A. I actually used to have a restaurant in Studio City, and one of my cousins is good friends with, like, Cuba Gooding Jr. and stuff. And
next time you're out there, look me up, okay?
Oh, definitely. Hey, listen, but that's really fascinating. I'm wondering if they can do that back in the 40s and manipulate the wind. Who would have thought they would be that ingenious to manipulate the wind?
Well,
what can they do?
60 years later, what do you think they could do with the technology
right.
we might have?
Right.
Okay, hey, thanks for the call. We got to take this break. I'll be right back. East of the Rockies, let's go back to the phones. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, this is Bill calling from Boston, WRKO.
Oh, sure thing, Bill. How far? Now, of course, Boston's about 50 miles from where I grew up in the summer, which is in Fitchburg.
Oh,
ever been out that way? Yeah.
Oh, sure, yeah. You know, I was listening to Richard C. Hoagland, and then, he came out and put his reputation on the line. And I remember about 25 or 30 years ago, a Category 4 hurricane ravaged the island of Cuba. And Fidel Castro came out and accused the United States of directing the storm over his island.
I remember that.
Do you?
Do you think we did that?
I have no idea, but it seems funny. You know, that was, what, 30 years ago?
Yeah. Well, that's true. Well, you know, they admitted through this Project Storm Fury that they spent hundreds of millions of dollars to try to manipulate the weather. You know, who knows? I mean, Richard believes, and some others, Richard's not alone here, that the manipulation of the weather indeed can be accomplished. In this particular case, he has no idea what's happening with these hurricanes and who's doing this. But he believes that, you know, they can be played with. I don't know. I got to tell you, I mean, I am convinced that they tried it, obviously, because they've told us they have. But whether they succeeded or not, I don't know.
You know, another thing, I'm old enough to remember the civil defense.
Oh, yeah.
When,
bomb shelters,
when bureaucracy gets involved, you know, I remember municipalities, towns, and counties, they had safe havens to go to where there was water and shelter and food. And you got this big bureaucracy, and, you know, it's just too big.
They can't function.
No.
They can't do it. It's got to be done on the city and state level.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot up there in Boston.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being on the program. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. Thanks so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Hey, I'm calling you from California, but used to be stationed in Biloxi, Mississippi, out of Keesler Air Force Base.
Oh,
there.
Sure. Absolutely.
Well, actually, it's where they fly the hurricane planes out of.
Yep.
And I got a lot of family in the South. Actually, my aunt lost her house in the Gentilly District in New Orleans, and a good buddy of mine, my old flight instructor, just bought his first piece of property just north of Galveston. Just talking to him earlier, said it took him 48 hours to get to San Antonio. And looks like they're going to be all right, but, you know, one man's good fortune is
another man's
bad fortune
demise.
In this
yeah.
case, yeah. Anyway, the reason why I called, well, a couple completely different things. I'll get to the most important one first, leave the second one at your discretion. But I'm a wildlife rehabilitator out here in California. I work with a Department of Fish and Game. Basically, half my job is fixing wild animals, and the other half is educating the public about, you know.
Now, what do you mean
issues.
Fixing them? If they're injured or something like that?
Sure. It's fairly common. There's a lot of various wildlife hospitals, SPCA centers, and the public will find, you know, a hurt bird or a squirrel or, in some cases, a deer or a raccoon and, you know, don't know how to deal with it, and we're the people they come to. And being very familiar with the South, I know that right now there's going to be tons of displaced. Well, you know, it's finally getting some coverage, all the displaced domestic animals like pets,
sure. Yes.
Dogs and cats. And there's some very serious public health issues here that understandably are not getting enough media time. And a couple weeks ago, I'm actually a pretty big fan of the show, and a couple weeks ago, Friday Night Open Lines, it kind of took a turn towards these stories of people who had found animals.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very, very alarmed at one of the stories I heard, and I actually sent an email to you about a week ago, but I know you get a million emails a day. So one of the callers related a story about how they found an opossum and had nursed it back to health, and said that they had done some research and found out that it was, is as nearly accurate as I can quote, they said that something to do with the receptivity in the brains of opossums makes it impossible for them to get rabies.
That
is absolutely, completely not true.
They can get rabies, can't they?
Any mammal can carry rabies. I mean, although it's never happened, theoretically a whale or a dolphin could carry rabies. Yeah, raccoons and creatures of their size or smaller are less likely to carry rabies than larger mammals simply because they won't usually survive the bite of the animal that will give it to them. You know, for instance, like a rabid coyote bites an opossum, it'll give it rabies, but then it will also eat and digest it. So it's a moot issue. But it
exactly.
is possible. And a very simple Google search will give you statistics for each state for each year of rabid opossums that have been found. So I just wanted to get that out there because, excuse me.
Well, why would she come up with that?
Well, because there are certain other theories that, for instance, opossums have slightly lower body temperatures than most other mammals, and this may make it a less hospitable host for the rabies virus. But it is certainly possible for them to carry this. So
right.
somehow, I'm sure, you know, she had the best intentions, and she was just misinformed, but
okay.
it does become an issue. And now you're going to be finding much more displaced, you know, opossums, raccoons, small mammals, and all of these dogs and cats that were formerly domestic are now going to go feral, and they are going to be hunting these things.
Oh,
so you're going to see higher incidences of,
okay.
you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, yes.
So you're going to see higher incidences of rabid animals that were previously domesticated and acclimated to humans. And rabies is just, it's a terrible, terrible, terrible disease. There's
Can you tell if an animal, if a dog, for example, is got rabies?
Very hard to tell. You know, there's so much folk wisdom and urban myths surrounding
foaming from the mouth and stuff like that. That doesn't happen?
Yeah, you might see that. You know, rabies is also known as hydrophobia, and in some cases you will see that, but it's really, really hard to tell. I mean, dogs will, for instance, you know, my dog will go for a walk and sniff where another dog did his business, and he'll start foaming at the mouth. It's just a habit of theirs. He's
I've got a producer. My producer, Tom, foams from the mouth all the time, you know. So he might have rabies for all I know.
Well, get him inoculated.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, so it's a dangerous thing. And another real big concern that, you know, those of us in the wildlife rehabilitation community, such as it is, are very worried about that doesn't get any public attention is the roundworm that is carried in the feces of raccoons and a few other mammals. And this is just, they're actually, the CDC is looking at its potential use as a bioterror agent. Because
the roundworm as a bioterror agent? Why? What does it do?
Its scientific name is Balisascaris procyonis, and it is a parasitic organism. And it actually, from a scientific, biological, evolutionary standpoint, it's just this magnificent creature. It has developed this life cycle where it grows in the intestines of, for instance, a raccoon. There's several subspecies, but the raccoon roundworm has evolved to live in the intestine of these raccoons. And I have seen specimen jars full of a kilogram of like 100 of these long stringy worms.
Come on, you don't have to tell us that. Sure. Don't get so graphic.
Okay. So anyway, it's certain areas around America, up to 50% of raccoons in different urban populations have been found to be infected with
this. Okay, so but what's the bottom line here? What do we do about
this? The bottom line is that every time a raccoon goes poop, can I say poop on the radio?
Well, you just did.
I just did, right. Every time a raccoon goes poop, it's got several hundred million microscopic eggs of this thing that can live, or can not live, but remain viable.
I know, but what do we do about this?
What you do is you do not keep raccoons as pets ever, 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 ever.
Okay.
You don't leave pets.
See, you could have told us that without the graphic display here.
We have, on average, there's a couple confirmed deaths, human deaths from this.
Oh, that's serious now.
And yeah, it's very serious. But we estimate, and those are the confirmed deaths, we estimate that it could be anywhere from 5 to 10 times more because it's simply not the kind of thing that anyone would check for.
Okay, I got to run. We got to take this break. That's a lesson for all of us. Yuck. Back in a moment.